Good morning.
Good morning.
is it still morning?
It is. Well, for us, it's really morning.
I know, that's true.
Because okay. We're night owls.
We are. Okay, this is Stories from the OC by the StoryCorps. My name's Alicia Freeman Rembert, also known as Allie. I'm here with the fabulous Dawn.
Hello. I'm Dawn Wynn Spranger. And today is December 24th, 2019.
Whoop, whoop. Almost 2020.
Oh my, another decade. It's crazy.
That's so futuristic.
It really is. 2020. Yeah. That is so futuristic.
You know how many jokes I'm going to make about eyesight all year long?
That's so perfect.
Okay, we have to focus.
I know. Oh, it's going to be hard for us, Allie.
Oh my gosh, it's only been a minute. I already am not focused.
We could do it. We could do it. We could do it because we could talk about everything. So.
I know. I feel so fancy.
I feel so fancy in this little booth.
I know. You guys, whoever you listens to this like 100 years from now, we're in Orange County at the Great Park in this super cute building in this fancy little like retro recording booth.
Yeah.
And next to us is another recording booth that's an Airstream.
Yes.
And
we are all about retro too.
Yeah.
You and I. So to us, this is like heaven for us.
I'm really sad they're going to make us leave.
I know.
But I guess other people have stories to tell.
I guess. Whatever.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's get to it.
Okay.
Okay. So the first question you picked.
Okay. Yes. There's so many questions that they gave us. So many prompts. Which was smart, actually.
Do you want to talk about earliest memories of Orange County?
My family and I escaped from Vietnam the last day of the war, April 29th, 1975, and we are one of the first refugees living here in Orange County. So Orange County is a special place for us because in Garden Grove, they accepted so many of us. I mean, we went to Florida first from 75 to 1980, but then my dad's entire family came here to Orange County, and we knew we wanted to be next to family, so we've been here since 1980. So my mom, my dad, my brother, and I, we drove for 5 days in a car from Florida to California, and Orange County has a huge place, I think, on our family's heart
for
accepting the amount of refugees that came here from Vietnam. So,
do you feel like Orange County is your home?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. And I've been to a lot of different places. And Orange County's changed a lot. I mean, I've lived in LA County. I lived in San Diego County. But I think Orange County is the place where, you know, it is home. It is home. Mm-hmm. So many families, so many friends. And it's changed a lot, I think, for the better, which I'm happy about.
Good, because not everybody feels that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's gotten a lot of people, but I don't know. I think it's changed progressively, which I'm really happy about, you know, everyone, the diversity.
Sure.
I wanted my kids to go to a very diverse school, and that's exactly what they got,
mm-hmm.
I think, because that's how the world really is, so.
Mm-hmm. That's true, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you see, I kind of get into this conversation with people a lot when they see new houses and especially like apartments and things being built up. And I'm like, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. I think that means that families want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so that might come with some other issues like traffic, but this is Southern California. There's traffic everywhere.
Exactly.
And people want to be here. Mm-hmm. And to me, that means new friends.
Mm-hmm.
And new stories,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
I'm not opposed to that at all. Because when we first moved here, it was my parents bought. I grew up in Yorba Linda,
mm-hmm.
so my parents bought that house in early '80s, and it was they were kind of at the end of the line
mm-hmm.
when they bought their house. But even that was considered new because
mm-hmm.
my husband's family bought their house that's now considered West Yorba Linda in
mm-hmm.
the 70s, and that was the end of the line. So it just keeps expanding.
Right.
And I don't see anything wrong with that.
Right,
so.
Right. I don't either.
Because
don't
either, where would we be otherwise,
right.
you know?
And I you know, because I've heard through history, because, you know, you and I, we love history.
Yeah.
How Orange County used to be, you know, a lot of money, I think. A lot. I mean, it depends on where you are, I guess.
Sure.
Very red, which is, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, it had a certain reputation mm-hmm. for years. And I just think it's gotten, I don't know, it's just gotten more diverse and populated with all kinds of different people, which I'm a huge believer in.
Yeah.
And I like hearing where everybody came from and what they're doing.
Sure.
And so that part is really fascinating to me.
Hmm. Yeah. I just read somewhere that I feel like I've done automatically without even realizing it mm-hmm. is to be friends with people that are older than you, to be friends
exactly.
with people that are younger than you,
yes.
that have come from a different country, mm-hmm. that have a different faith or, mm-hmm. you know, background or whatever, mm-hmm. and do that your whole life, because then you have this point of view mm-hmm. that is different than maybe if you lived in this little bubble.
Exactly, yes.
And I think that we have that opportunity here in Southern California mm-hmm. in general.
Mm-hmm. I think we're very lucky that way.
Yeah.
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 That we're able to just run into anyone and hear their story
yeah.
and where they came from and what they've done. And I think it's a very unique kind of place that we have. Yeah.
As far as earliest memories of Orange County, being from Yorba Linda, I had parents that were very involved in the community.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was the traffic commissioner for the city of Yorba Linda, mm-hmm. and my mom ran for the school board. So I grew up in this kind of little, like, political world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember having to, like, put signs out, and I can still tell you what, or at least I still smell what the city hall smells like.
Oh.
Isn't that funny?
Yes.
Because I spent so much time sitting in mm-hmm. the city hall, you know, during meetings with my dad
yeah.
and kind of grew up in this little small town political mm-hmm. childhood.
Right.
And I think it kind of burnt me out on politics a little bit. But,
yeah. But with everything that's going on right now, it burns out anyone, really.
Yeah. So I have that memory of being in the city hall chambers and my parents being involved in the community, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we also lived on a cul-de-sac, and so, you know, when you live on a cul-de-sac, you have 4th of July parties mm-hmm. and the Memorial Day, and everybody
yeah.
goes out and have water balloon fights,
mm-hmm.
and when fireworks were still legal, we'd all have, like, you know, all the neighbors would come out,
mm-hmm.
and we'd do fireworks together, and
mm-hmm.
I remember when all the houses, that track was new, and there was, like, no trees still,
mm-hmm.
everything was baby,
yes.
and we just had... The kids would have, like, mud pits we'd play in because the trees weren't, you know, grown
yeah.
up yet.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I think
yeah.
although Orange County had a lot of Asian refugees back, you know, when we first came in the 70s. I mean, more came in the 80s. Well, a lot came in the 80s. I didn't live in the area where there was a lot of refugees. We lived in the outskirts of Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
And there were not a lot of Vietnamese people, and my brother and I grew up where we were really the only Asians, the only Vietnamese, and that was tough. That was not easy. But when we first came, which is completely different from how my kids are growing up
yeah.
here now, my parents really wanted us to assimilate. They didn't. They wanted us to speak English. They didn't, you know, push for us to learn how to read and write, which I completely regret all of it now, because my two children, I mean, I have a 19-year-old and a 16-year-old, and they have such diverse of friends
yeah.
that they're upset that they don't know how to speak Vietnamese. And I'm like, they're like, why didn't you teach us how to speak Vietnamese, Mom? And I'm like, I don't even speak Vietnamese. Like, it's hard
yeah.
for me to even speak to our family. You know, Grandma and Grandpa didn't want us to do stuff like that. They wanted us to really assimilate, and which is, you know, I understand, because
mm-hmm.
they tell us now, they're like, you know, in the 70s and 80s, it wasn't like that. It wasn't the push
yeah.
for diversity that
yeah.
we have now.
Right.
Like, it was a completely different time, and
you didn't want to stand out, probably.
Exactly. You didn't want to stand out.
Yeah.
I am the token Asian growing up. I mean, it's not as bad as it is now, but I mean, we have a lot more diversity now here in Orange County, but growing up, my brother and I were very much on the outskirts. I mean, we were, don't get me wrong, we had great, you know, childhood. Like, we had great friends, and but I remember being called, you know, some not so nice
terms
yeah. growing up. And my brother and I always trying to feel like we needed to prove ourselves that we're white, that we can do the same things as everyone else. So I think it's changed so much because my children are just in a completely different.
Sure. They don't have to fight for acceptance.
At all.
Yeah.
Like, they have, you know, Latina friends. They have white friends. They have Asian friends. Mm-hmm. They have mixed friends. They have black friends. They have, which I just absolutely love.
Yeah.
Because my brother and I, we just didn't have that growing up. Like, we had a little bit of diversity. My brother probably had a lot more Asian friends because he was the smart one and
was in all
So what are you saying about yourself?
He was in all the honors classes. I definitely was not that kid. I was very much the social butterfly, and mm-hmm. I partied a lot, and I did things that I probably shouldn't have done. So I was not in the same crowd that my brother was in. Not that I didn't have other diverse friends, but mostly my friends were all white. And I just think it's grown in to the point where my children, they eat all kinds of different types of food.
Yeah.
Where, you know, growing up, I was embarrassed for certain things, bringing certain foods, having certain smells, all this kind of stuff, where it is night and day now for my kids. My kids are like, Mom, I want this. You know, all kinds of different types of food, which I think is, which is amazing. So, so Orange County in that way has changed. There's a lot more acceptance and a lot more people, you know, so,
I think that's true across the board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we were just talking about on the way over here, just things that were going on even, you know, in the 80s and the 90s.
Right.
And like how much that shifted for women, for minority groups. I think it's been a very swift change over the last, not even all that long.
It hasn't been long at all.
10 to 20 years, right. maybe? Yeah.
Yeah. I say within the last 10 years, it's gotten, especially what you and I want to do, because we're we're like, you know, we're storytellers, we're filmmakers, we're this. So for us to see the diversity being represented has been an amazing sight to see, I think, because us as women, we want to tell our stories, and then us as we're, you know, being from a different culture, a different race, for us to be able to highlight all of that is amazing to me. I'm so proud to be able to be in an environment here in Orange County that we can actually do that, where we can share stories of different diversities and no one kind of blinks an eye anymore.
Right.
Which it used to not be that way.
Right, that's true.
Now people want it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think the more that we can share each other's stories, I mean, this is just globally, the better we'll understand one another and be closer to one another and remember that we're all human beings.
Right.
You know, I don't want to be on a soapbox, but it's like,
yeah,
we're all humans and we all have, when it comes into it, we all have the same battles and the same wants. And
I think people hearing stories like what we're doing now, because like, if you don't know, it's because you haven't been around it, right? People that will say stuff that's so extreme, it's because they've never met anyone or been around anyone that might have a different belief system or a different culture as them. And I think being able to share that is important, you know? I mean, and even the LGBTQ environment that we're in is amazing, because when my brother came out in the early 90s, it was rough. It was hard. It was not that long ago.
Yeah.
And I felt that I was on the brink of like always having to defend and be so out there, where now people don't even blink an eye. People are just like, which is just amazing. I mean, I know we live in Southern California, and that's a completely different type of environment to other places.
Sure.
But I'm just so proud of the fact that we're at that moment, and I don't have to fight like I used to when it came to certain things, you know? And also being a refugee and coming and not having really anything, coming from a background where my parents had so much in Vietnam. I mean, they had a lot of money, and they, you know, I mean, my mom had a maid and a butler, and, you know, they had all...
And it just changed overnight.
When we escaped, because we barely escaped, and I mean, we almost died being on a boat for days without food and water and people stealing from you. And my, you know, I mean, I don't remember it. I was just a baby, but the stories that my parents would tell us of how lucky we are that we, you know, that we left when we did, and that we, you know, we were out on the docks in Vietnam and you know, getting on a boat that didn't work and then, you know, finally finding one that did, and then my dad throwing me off a little embankment thing and getting on a boat that didn't, you know, that went out into the China Sea, and then being out there for days and then not having food and water. And it just brings like, you know, a thought of feeling like for grateful for everything that you have, right? Like, you know, everything that I've had since I've been here in Orange County has been a blessing. Don't get me wrong, there's been horrible days, you know, and everyone
has... That's the cost of human existence, I think,
But knowing that this place has given me everything that I have, that my family has, that we are successful, we are not hungry, we have food on the table, we have a place to live, you know, you can't put a price on what that has done for, you know, for my children and, you know.
And so. For your parents to just... be willing, and obviously out of need for survival, to just grab everything and go and leave that all behind.
And they didn't even know they were, I mean, they knew they were going to leave, but they didn't know what day.
Yeah.
And to come with nothing in your pockets. Yeah. I mean, my dad had money. He gave it all away just to be able to get on the boat and do this and do that. Like, you come with nothing. And then when they came here, my dad and my mom going from having a lot of money to working in the factory in the middle of the night and sweeping up the factory because that's the only job he was able to get as a refugee. And my mom, you know, working in a restaurant in the dishwasher and doing dishes and doing this, from someone having people wait on you.
Yeah, that's such night and day.
And night and day.
Yeah.
And being able to, you know, get out of that and be successful like my parents are now is just, you know, amazing to me. And where else can that happen? Where else can that happen in a short, if you think about it, in a short amount of time,
right?
In 44 years, that my mom can be retired and she can, you know, have enough, you know, retirement to be able to live in a nice place and to, you know, do what she wants to do. And for my dad to be able to do the same thing. It's just, it's amazing to me what generations can do, you know? And that happened here. That happened here in our awesome country and in California, you know?
I hear so many stories as I talk to people, you know, our friend Alita, she had a similar situation leaving Cuba. And now they're here with her folks in Downey. And it's, and I look at you guys and I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys are my friends. I you know, I don't really bat an eye until the story is told. And you're like, oh my gosh, you guys are survivors. You're persevering, you're warriors. And you hear these stories and it's just incredible. And I know there are so many others like it. And I was almost born in Saudi Arabia.
My That's
mom,
crazy.
I know, I say that and people are like, what? My dad was an engineer and he was on assignment and they were in Saudi Arabia. And my mom, she got pregnant with me and she didn't want me born there. And so Ultimately, we're coming back here. So she flew home like 2 months before I was due mm-hmm. to have me.
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately we'd end up going back, but to England. And, but my mom would tell stories about being in Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. same with my dad, and just how different, humanity
mm-hmm.
was, is
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And, just simply from my mom getting off the plane
mm-hmm.
and having to cover up everything, mm-hmm. this young American woman right. at 29,
mm-hmm.
having to witness stuff and be covered up and told how to go to the market mm-hmm. and what to buy and how to buy, and my dad having to deal with the differences in business decorum
mm-hmm.
with the men. And I heard lots of stories
mm-hmm.
about that.
Yeah.
And I think because of their travels and traveling all over the place, they went to Egypt and we lived in different places in Europe and all before I was like five. I think that helped them with raising me, like you're saying, with food.
Exactly.
Like, I grew up eating all kinds of different mm-hmm. foods, and mm-hmm. I think that's now why I'm, like, more diverse in mm-hmm. my food.
Mm-hmm.
Think
mm-hmm.
about it. Food is a role in mm-hmm. all this.
Oh, I agree.
And
yeah.
I was that kid that would come to school, not with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Mm-hmm. I know we've talked about
mm-hmm.
this.
Yeah.
But with, like, lobster
yeah.
or some crazy thing
yeah.
you know
that a little kid would not be
like,
bringing to lunch
yeah but
yeah.
I was like, I'm cool with this because mm-hmm. I've had this crazy childhood
mm-hmm.
and I'm open to new things and
right.
not just like the cookie cutter that everybody else is doing
mm-hmm.
you know
mm-hmm.
I mean
and our kids, I think our kids are so blessed. I mean
yeah.
for them to be able to, you know, when they're like, oh, we went here, Mom, we went here, you know,
mm-hmm.
we went to go have, you know, Vietnamese food, and everyone loves Vietnamese food, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is crazy. Do you know what I mean?
And they're so willing and open
yeah,
to that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, being surrounded by mixed people is amazing to me. Like, they're friends that are half, you know, half African-American, half white, half his half Latino, Latina, and half white, and half Asian,
mm-hmm.
and half white. Like, the mix of race and how they're all together is great to me. I
yeah.
think that's just amazing, you know, because, I mean, the law in 1964, I want to say, where you were allowed to marry outside your race without being persecuted, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's come a long way, you know, in 50 years.
Yeah, in a lot of areas.
Thank goodness.
okay, some of these other questions, which we've already kind of answered a lot of them as we're chatting.
Exactly. We're so good at that.
I know. We get together to, like, work on a project, and we have to, like, talk for an hour first.
Beforehand. Because we could go on forever. But we're storytellers. That's
I know. I know. It just comes with the territory. Fortunately, we already know that. So, okay, what do you do for a living?
Well, I have a fabulous job. I am so blessed. I teach film. I mean, I went to film school.
Yes.
I remember not knowing what I wanted to do when I graduated from high school. And I was not exactly the studious person. And having a conversation with my brother, I went to Cypress Community College, and I just bombed. I was there for a month, and I had no idea what was happening. So I quit, and I thought to myself, I'm fine. I don't need to go to school. What's the point? And my brother saying to me, you know, where else are you going to be in an environment where you're going to learn about things that you might not be able to learn? You know,
mm-hmm.
it's about that. It's not
yeah.
about a career. Yes, it's great to have a career after you go to college. But it's not about that. It's about being an educated person.
Mm, very
and
wise.
And he put it in a different perspective for
yeah.
me. Like, I was just like, because I just thought, oh, you go to college, you get a job.
Right,
that.
Right.
And he's just like, that's not about that. It's not about that. And
so
when
true.
when he told me that, I said, you're right. And he's like, well, what do you love? I said, you know what I love. I love storytelling. I love film. I love this. He's like, well, you know, why don't you want to go to film school? And I thought, no way. Why would I go to film school, you know? And I said, okay, you know, let me think about it. But I did go back to school. I went to San Diego State, and then I came back here, and I went to school here in Santa Ana. And then I got accepted to Chapman Film School. And at the time, Chapman didn't even have a film school. It was mm-hmm. a part of communication. So mm-hmm. I was, like, one of the first graduating.
Great school.
It was great. Yeah. And now it's rated number 7.
I know.
So such now when school. I say Chapman Film School, everyone's like, Chapman Film
Ooh,
School?
So which fancy.
I know. So in the 90s, though, you know, mid to late 90s, it wasn't like that. And I graduated from Chapman Film. I was lucky enough to get an internship at Sony Pictures Entertainment, Columbia mm-hmm. Pictures.
Whoop, whoop.
I know. And then they hired me, which is amazing. And that is all because I had an amazing boss, Eric Rigney. If you hear this, I love you. You know how much I love you.
Brownie points.
He has always been, he was my first boss. And he was so awesome that I've been spoiled ever since. And I thought everyone was like that.
That's the standard.
It is the standard.
Yeah.
We still keep touch to this day.
That's good.
And he's amazing. And so I worked at Sony Pictures Entertainment doing post, working with engineers and editors and sound mixers. And it was just an amazing job.
Mm.
But then I got married mm-hmm. and I got pregnant. And I was commuting from, you know, Long Beach to L.A. And it was a long time to be away from my son.
Yeah.
So I made a huge decision to quit, which was the hardest decision because I just really loved my career. And I came home to be with my son. But then my friends were all teachers and they were like, you know, get out of the house, come sub a couple days because I was able to leave for a couple of days out of the week just to go find a part-time job. So I said, okay, I'll come. I'm like, sub? Why would I do that? But okay, you know, it's good money. It's for a day. No big deal. As soon as I walked into that classroom, I instantly felt it. It's like, this is my calling.
Mm.
Teaching is my calling. I loved it to the point where I'm like, I can do this.
Yeah.
I can do this. I love this so much. And so I worked part-time as a sub. I did some long-term subbing, and I decided to go back to school in my 30s with two kids at home to go back to school to get my credential, which was difficult, but it was the best decision.
I survived.
And I always knew that I wanted to go back and teach film because it was such my love in language arts and lit and storytelling and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm just working the gamut of, you know, working different places. And then finally I was hired to work at Orange County School of the Arts to teach film aesthetic, and it was just, holy cow, this is happening.
Ocean.
I know. And so now I've been at Ocean now for the past 5 years teaching film, and now I teach screenwriting, and I work in a lit and comp class with special education, and I also work at Arbor Learning Community, where it's where I met your little awesome son, and I teach a Star Wars class right now, Hero's Journey in History, which is I can't even believe it's like I woke up in a dream because I went to my director and I'm like, what do you think? Can I teach like a Star Wars class Arbor is a great homeschooling community, and my director, she's the greatest too. She's like, yeah, teach a Star Wars class.
Yes.
That'd be great. And I'm like, holy cow, now I'm teaching a Star Wars class. because I love film because when I was 3 years old, my first movie was A New Hope.
Mm.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah.
At three?
Three.
And by the way, no one can see this, but I'm going to tell you people listening, she's wearing a Star Wars Christmas sweater right now. It's R2-D2 with antlers. You may or may not understand that, future people, but.
And last week, episode 9 came out.
Woohoo!
So my aunts, who was actually escaped with us from Vietnam, they had no idea they were leaving that day. It's just crazy. That's a crazy story, too.
Yeah.
My aunts took my brother and I to see A New Hope, 1977.
That's so cool.
And I was 3 years old. And I will never forget it. I remember it like it was yesterday. And ever since then, my brother and I really have been into movies. And so just growing up, I knew how much I love storytelling at like a very young age. And it's because of watching movies in the 70s and the 80s and 90s.
Isn't it interesting what can trigger a journey?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You bring up Star Wars. It triggered yours. I'd say for me, the two movies that had the biggest impact on and what kind of started me on my journey mm-hmm. was Neverending Story
yes.
and The Dark Crystal.
Yes.
I mean, Jim Henson And I think just those adventure, like epic stories, similar to Star Wars.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, you give that to a kid and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh. Right. Like the world has endless possibilities.
Absolutely.
Are you kidding? I can tell these great stories of other worlds and other characters and creatures. But when it comes into it.
But have the same story.
It's the same story. Exactly, when it comes into, and of course you're teaching a Star Wars hero's journey. Mm-hmm. You can see that in every story. I know there's people that are like, I don't get fantasy or science fiction. It's like, but if you break it down, it's the same story.
Exactly.
It's just really told with just different location or characters.
Absolutely.
It's still the same story. And that's true for just humans in general.
Right.
It's we all want and have similar
desires, the same desires, the same wants, but it's just in a different background.
Right.
That's exactly right. So for me now, working in the arts has been an incredible blessing.
Sure.
Nothing brings me more joy than sharing what I love with other people, and especially students who are a part of the arts. And so that's what gets me up every day, and I love it more than anything. Because, you know, film is my passion. You know, well, the arts is my passion. Film is my passion. Music and film is my passion, but teaching is my calling. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'll never forget having a conversation with my son. He's 19 now, and I remember him working about a year and a half ago maybe, and he's like, I don't want to go to work. And I'm like, you know, okay, but you got to go, you know. And I was kind of giving him a hard time. And he goes, Mom, don't you ever feel, you know, that you hate the, you know, you have to get up and go to work? I said, no.
Yeah.
And he's like, you don't? I said, no. I said, I love my job. I love getting up. I love being with my, I mean, don't get me wrong. There are days when I'm grading papers all night and I'm like, oh my God, this is the worst. I mean, that part stinks. But, and I told him that. I said, your goal is to find something that you love doing and you really don't feel like you're working. And that's the goal. The goal is not the money.
Yeah.
The goal is not, you know, because, you know, teachers, we don't make any, we make money, but we don't make, you know, what we should be making, I guess. And he looked, I think, at it differently. I said, you're going to school, you're going to college, yes, to get a job, but also find your passion and love that you can want to do it, you know, for as long as you can. I'm not saying you can't change careers. I'm not saying you can't have different loves. I'm not saying you need to have one career for the rest of your life. And that will happen, which is totally, completely fine.
Right.
As long as you're a responsible adult and you're paying and you're taking care of yourself, I don't care what you do, as long as you're happy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and coming from an Asian culture, that does not happen. Like, for my mom to allow my brother and I to go into the arts at a very young age is a huge thing in the Asian culture. My mom was so supportive of us. I mean, she took us to plays, and she did this, and she did that. And
Me too.
Yeah. And I think that opened our eye, my brother and our eye, because my brother is also a filmmaker. He's a writer, director, producer in New York, and he's always been in the arts too. And so for us to be able to have that outlet at a very young age through and not feeling bad about it, you know, my mom not making us like feel like we needed to be a doctor or a lawyer.
Have a plan B.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That she allowed us to do what we wanted to do. And I think because of that, we were able to foster an environment. You know, I'm able to foster an environment for my own two children to, like, I want you to be happy. You don't need, you know, I'm like the opposite tiger mom where, you know, but my kids are just, you know, I just from day one, I've told my kids, I said, I want you to be a hardworking, responsible person.
Yeah.
I don't care about your grades. I care that you're working to your ability. You're not going to like everything.
Sure.
That's okay. As long as you are a responsible, you know, well-rounded kid, it doesn't matter what your grade says to me. Mm. And I just think that...
So that's more about character.
Exactly.
Than just getting a good grade on a quiz.
Right.
Yeah.
And in the Asian culture, that is that grade means everything.
I know.
And for me, I just was like, and maybe it's because I wasn't that kid, you know. I was never in honors classes. I was a social butterfly. I didn't get good grades. I was horrible in school. I just didn't care, you know? And my mom she wasn't angry at me. She wasn't, you know what I mean? She just let me do what I wanted to do. And now it's just, my career means, you know, my career means everything to me. It's amazing, you know? And I love that now that my kids are older, I can go back to filmmaking, which I'm doing with you, which yeah. I love. And, you know, I've been, I don't know, ignited now to do more storytelling. And we have the means now, which it used to not be that way in the 90s.
Yeah, that's so true, because we have technology in our pocket that can allow us to easily
exactly.
tell stories
right.
and post online. And there's really no excuse now. There really isn't.
There really is no excuse.
We have just so many handheld tiny little things that
right.
make it easy to get in and out. We don't need big bulky
right.
stuff. And that will lead me to what I do for a living, which is I'm a photographer, and I'm back in school finishing my art degree because
She's amazing.
She's
like an amazing photographer.
Oh, thank you. Like you, I got married, had a baby, and, you know, you put those things kind of aside. And so I wanted to go back and finish. So I'm working on my art degree at Fullerton College. And just so happens that my son attends there as well at 15, because I've had the amazing opportunity to homeschool him. And encourage him in whatever he wanted to pursue.
Exactly.
And he loves history, thanks to his grandpa. And he loves the arts, thanks to his parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we'll get to graduate together next year, so there will be lots of crying.
So, and that's a segue to, you know, doesn't matter how old you are.
No.
You can always go back
yeah.
to school.
Because it's
and
not.
Do what you want to do.
Yeah, it's not about a career move for me.
Exactly.
It's something I want to do for myself and encourage him and just finish something that I started.
Right.
Back to photography, though, I want to make sure to put a point here that I started an all-female photography group three
yes.
and a half years ago. So I want to give a shout out to that. It's called the Female Photographers League of SoCal. I have almost 300 women now a part of it.
That's amazing.
And I'm so crazy proud of it, because out of my just random idea has grown into this group of friends and this community and people that are expanding their portfolio and jobs have come out of it, friendships have come out of it. And it's been so cool. So I feel very honored and blessed to carry that and
right.
and hold that very closely and nurture it. And
because, I mean, honestly, now I feel that women, we've come to the point where we are going to do everything we can to lift each other up.
I hope.
And we are doing that, I think. I think,
yeah.
you know, when we do our crew and having so many women behind the scenes,
yeah.
which I think is such a huge deal for us, you know? I mean, directing and DP
yeah.
and, you know, all this stuff that we didn't have the opportunity. I mean, we did, but it was far
right, on a smaller scale.
Smaller scale.
Yeah.
And now the industry is finally getting to the point where they're seeing that as much as we need women on in front of the camera, we need women behind the camera, because
yeah.
we have
yeah.
stories to tell. We have diverse stories to tell. We have a different perspective.
For sure, yeah.
And you being surrounded by all those women in your photography group, that's where you're going to hear all the different types of perspective, which we need, you know? We need
and I see it.
Yeah.
When I see their photos come through, or even when I was going to shoots before and I was the only woman,
yeah.
as soon as I would step up to the model, their whole demeanor would change
right.
because
gosh, amazing.
I don't know if it was like they just felt less threatened.
Right.
Or they just felt more comfortable mm-hmm. because of it was a woman. I think part of it too is I was taking different kinds of photos. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when it occurred to me, I need to start my own thing. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I'm totally a trailblazer. And
yes, you are.
That's
why I love you.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, absolutely.
I felt like once I saw the demeanor change in the models, I went, something is going on here. Something is happening mm-hmm. that women don't feel as comfortable with a male photographer as they do with a woman.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We pose them differently. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We talk to them differently.
Right.
We look at them differently.
Yes.
I don't care how fancy your camera gear is. If you're taking a picture of,
yes.
you know, body parts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Instead of really focusing on the beauty of the model, mm-hmm. you're missing an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I take that and I turned it into this group that I'm so proud of. And then from that has kind of spawned this idea of producing films mm-hmm. and making films with female-led crew.
Right.
Which we've started.
So amazing.
So fun. I have so many
so
ideas.
Fun.
It's insane.
Yeah.
So
it has ignited our passion, which I think women need at
yeah.
different times of their lives, you know,
right.
like,
and that encouragement to do so.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Because we've put ourselves last so
all
often.
The time.
All
and
the
now
time.
That, you know, I just really honestly within the past 2 years have felt, you know, I have to have a life outside my children
yeah.
because I have done so much to stay, you know, I put my career on hold and I stayed mm-hmm. home with my kids. And I mean, and I've done so much for them.
And they have their own journey.
Exactly. And now
so
they're
do you.
On. Exactly. So
yeah.
now they have their own lives.
Yeah.
And so I mean, I had to go to therapy because I remember thinking, what am I going to do if I'm not their mom, you know?
Right. How many women feel that when their kids leave and you have this empty nest syndrome?
Exactly.
It's not just empty nest. It's,
right.
It's identity.
Exactly. It's your identity. And because I put pride in knowing that I raised
right.
wonderful
right.
children. And my therapist is like, you know, you're more than just a mom.
Yeah.
And when she put it in a perspective, like, you are way more than just a mom. Not that, you know, putting that word just.
Right, right.
Makes
it's
it like.
Value,
it,
but there's
it's
more
value,
than.
But there are, women are more than just that. And so when she really put me, you know, made me think of it mm-hmm. in a perspective where it's like, you know, I have so much more to live,
yeah.
and my children have their own independent lives to live. What are you going to do? And so that's how you and I met at the perfect time, because now I'm like, I can do more.
Yeah.
I can use this time that I have to tell stories
yeah.
and to
yeah.
and to listen to people, you know, tell us their story and put it in a way where people can connect with it. And so I just think that that's where we're at. It's just amazing. It's an amazing journey that we're having right now, I think.
I agree. 2020 is going to be awesome.
It really is.
And I think it's interesting you bring that up about what your therapist kind of challenged you on. And I will say this, too, as we wrap things up, mm-hmm. that my husband and I went through a really rough time about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of having this identity moment.
Mm-hmm.
And he challenged me too. And I thought it was so wise. And it came at the right time. He said, instead of just saying that you're my wife or
right.
mom,
mm-hmm.
who are you outside of those things?
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to a local park and I sat down and I had a piece of paper and I wrote down all the things I was and am outside of being a mom or, mm-hmm. or a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And my list grew and grew and grew and grew. And I realized I had all these other hats and descriptions
yes.
and adjectives
yes.
outside of those two roles
yes.
that I had forgotten about.
Yes. That's what we do. That's what women
yes.
do.
Yes. And I feel like that was that point.
Yes.
That was that fork in the road for me mm-hmm. that I went, yeah, I'm all these other things.
Yes.
Started back to school,
yes.
started my photography group,
mm-hmm.
started doing filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that moment for me that I went, I am more than just these
right.
things.
Yes.
Not that those don't have value, but I am all these other hats, all
yes,
these other roles and titles that I need to nurture.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. and it is our time. Like, it's our time right now, because I think the environment that we're in right now, that's all what it's about. It's like having women speak their mind in a way that people can hear us. and understand us and know that we're not just moms. Don't get me wrong.
Motherly. We're here to support you, OC women.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. My children are the best part of me, but I see other things in our future to
make us fulfilled. But you were Dawn first.
Yes.
I was Alicia first.
Yes.
So, yeah, we have 20 seconds left. So, on that note, we support you, ladies.
We do.
Get out there. Go be you.
Go out there and be bold.
Dust off whatever you've let get dusty.
Exactly. And be bold and be brave. And you are important.
Yeah.
You are.